do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, Amen. Because that's what the Scripture says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. As always, it's my privilege to stand before you here to study with you from the message of God, and for us to have the opportunity to be in fellowship one with another, and to be encouraged by our fellow Christians and our individual belief that our God really is a true God, a God who serves us. Well, thanks, David, for that fishing lesson. You need some pretty good test line if you're going to try to bring Preacher Bob in, but anyhow, I appreciate the effort there. But that's really, if we can, just sort of emphasize to you that we're looking forward to a campaign that's up and coming. And I think beginning on March the 18th, if I have the date right, it's a week of that 18th, there will be workers here to go out in our community to help us to create interest in studying the Bible and, of course, ultimately filling our net with fish. Isn't that right? That's what our goal is. And I want to encourage you to be here next Lord's Day at the Bible class hour. Jim is going to talk to us some more about the campaign and things for us to be preparing for. And in our lesson last week, and David leading up the week before in the lesson on service and washing of feet and preaching from John chapter 14, where we learned that becoming a disciple involves us having a redemptive kind of relationship, a relationship that brings us together with Jesus Christ, a redemptive kind of relationship. Jesus says in John chapter 14 to His disciples that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto Me but by the Father. Isn't that right? That's why that's so important that we would preach the everlasting message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, that's what our job is. And when we become a disciple, there are several responsibilities that come along with that. It's not just responding initially to the, shall I say, to the gospel call, that is, in obeying Jesus as the Great Commission says to us in Matthew chapter 28. Remember, we went back and looked at that passage, and there at verse 19, where He told the disciples to go ye therefore and to teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth or the age. And we got workers coming in. We hope that they're going to be people that will be brought into Christ. And I'm saying to you that that is not where it will end. We don't want it to end there. But that they would become disciples. And they would recognize that redemptive relationship. Our scripture this morning is over in 1 John chapter 3. Let's share together in that passage as again we talk some more in reference or about being a disciple. What it means to follow Jesus, to be a learner in Christ Jesus. And we couldn't have sung any greater songs. I know that Tommy has read the scripture. That's why he's preaching leading those songs that talk about us loving one another. And about the concept of what God's love really means to us. Now listen to what John is telling us in our text for today. in 1 John chapter 3. We will begin at verse 11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Or not as Cain, who was in the evil one, slew his brother. And for that reason, for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. He was jealous because his brothers' deeds were righteous and he was evil. Do not be surprised, brethren, says John, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. What does it mean to be a disciple? Well, we cited last week, it means to be a learner and a follower. And this week, I'm going to say to you that it also means that we now learn to love one another, as the song was saying, as we were singing today. Jesus would say in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, what are we saying? People know that we are family. People know that we are a family built around the concepts of God because of our love. That's the whole idea. When we become a Christian, we are born into the family of God. That makes us a family. Just like brothers and sisters, for whom, or we are born into the family of God, and for that reason I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is given. This is the concept that brings us into the body of Jesus Christ. We are baptized into the body of Christ, as we learn from Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We're all called the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And for those of you that have been baptized into Christ, says Paul, you have put on Christ. Baptized into the Christ, or baptized into the body. Now, I know that we live in a world, in a realm, where some folks would say, you know, give me Jesus. I love Jesus. I like the idea of Jesus, but, you know, the church. Remember last week I said to you that maybe sometimes that word church doesn't mean what we think it means when we're talking to other people. Because their experience with church may not be our experience in coming to church. Now, I just want to say to you that you cannot say, give me Jesus and not the church. Are you listening? That's not possible. Because to be a disciple, you have to have a family kind of relationship. A family relationship. Paul will cite for us in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, at verses 22 and 23. And he says that he put all things in subjection under his feet. That would be Jesus. That's what he's talking about. God put all things under his feet. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now listen to the language. All things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The body the church. Church is not a location. Did you get that? Church is not the place. That's what we say. That's our terminology. That's what I mean, that we don't maybe always grasp what everybody else is thinking when we're talking to them. And we say, well, where are you going? Well, we're going to church. I've been to church. Maybe you laid out your church clothes. Did you do that? If some of you need somebody to lay out your church clothes, right? Okay. The church clothes. Yeah, we talk in this fashion. But I want to help you see here that when we're brought into the body of Christ, as we've read here this morning from this passage, that we have something here that we need to explore a little bit more. Because you see, things that are equal to each other are equal to the same thing. Let me explain it like this. I want to borrow a $20 bill from Bobby Davis. You got a 20, Bobby? Would you bring it on down? This is a visual illustration. Come on, Bobby. I'll take 100 if you got it in there. Now, what you got? Look what he's bringing me. Well, this didn't work out the way I had it planned.
Do I ever?
Okay, I'm going to borrow $50 okay. from you.
All right.
Okay? Is that okay with
yeah.
you? Thank you. You can sit down. That was really easy, Jim. Try that sometime. Just call on an elder and say, give me $50, and that'll work. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Bobby, by the way, Bobby, I'm going to pay you that money. Would you come back? I want to pay you that money back. And I borrowed $50. Everybody saw that? For those of you who can't read, it is a 5. It's 50. All right, Bobby.
Thank you.
Are you all right?
I'm good.
I gave him 2 20s and a 10. He's all right with that. Would you be all right with that? Can I give anybody 2 20s and a 10? Okay, you want to line up? Come on. No, never mind. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. I didn't really take 50 from him. I borrowed a $50 bill and I gave him back the change for it. You saw that. Now listen to what I'm trying to say, because I think this is a simple lesson that we don't always gather in like we ought to. Paul is writing, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to go over there and look if you got your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And listen to what he says. Now listen to his wording here. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. You got that? Whether we're Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and we're all made to drink freely of one Spirit. Now you remember our other passage over in Ephesians chapter 1? Where we were told we were baptized into the body, the what? Church. The group. The ecclesia. That called out group of people. Over here we're told we're baptized into by one Spirit into one body. In Galatians 3, Jim, we're told we put on Christ when we are baptized into Christ. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. I'm simply saying that when these people come to Jesus and they repent of their sins and they submit to being buried in water baptism and they're united with Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life, guess what? They were baptized into the body of Christ, the family of God, the church of the living God. We don't get a choice in that. God adds us to the church daily, such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2. Isn't that right? very simple. Baptized into one body. The body is the church, the called out believers. Baptized into one church or one body by one Spirit. That's interesting as well. When Paul is writing in Ephesians 4, he says, there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in us all. People are born into families, are you listening, without consent. David didn't know it, but he got born. He's in my family. Now, we didn't know about it till we met up and found out that we've got, and I've done a lot of research I need to share with you. We're kinfolk. He's probably not going to put that on his resume. Okay? We are born into families without consent. How many of you are on Ancestry.com or something similar to it? How many of you have done some genealogy searching about your own particular family? You know, if we flashed it on the board up here, what would your family tree look like? Who would be in that tree? Now, maybe you're curious to know who might be in your tree. Well, I've done some checks on all of you, and I'm fixing to put some information up. I'm kidding. In my family tree, there's a fellow by the name of David Lewis Payne. He's just one of the many Paynes in my tree. He is known as the father of Oklahoma. If you're ever in Stillwater, Oklahoma, there is a memorial site there that has David L. Payne, or David Lewis Payne, where he is buried. And if you read all of the things on the memorial, you will have sort of an opinion about this famous fella, Captain David Payne, who came into the Oklahoma territories and helped settle it. I won't go any further than that, because everything that goes along with that may not be all that pretty. He established a city, by the way, called Ewing. A little later on, they called it Oklahoma City. He's also known for being a horse thief. He wasn't the best of character people, okay? And I'm just simply saying to you that we don't know who all's in the tree. As a matter of fact, I found out through him that, well, Daniel Boone is in the tree. And even his middle name, Lewis, is all about the Lewis and Clark expeditions. Yeah, that's part of my family tree. Oh, David became known for that annoying song, Boomer Sooner. No, actually, he led the movement known as Boomers into Oklahoma. And it was from that name they made that song and tagged Oklahoma University with the Boomer Sooners. So if you get tired of that wagon going around and them singing, Boomer Sooner, la 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 la, shut up, you know, whenever they score a touchdown. That's where it came from. I'm telling you all of that to say this. I hope you get this. I can't change my family tree. That's what's in it. You can't change your family tree either. But I'm going to tell you this. I can lead the future of my family, and I can lead them into the body of Christ that will connect them to the Son of God. And so can you. And you can do that with your other people that you may know, and they'll become part of your tree, your spiritual tree. Talking about being a disciple in Christ, it's not just the idea of being buried into baptism and being brought anew into the church. It's also about recognizing, as we read in our passage, that we are family and that we are supposed to love one another like family. In fact, on your bulletin, it says, the South Main Church, where family matters. Is that true? I hope it is for you. It is for us. Do everything we can do for our family here, our spiritual family. And anyone who could be a spiritual prospect to be in our family. I can't always change my family history, but I can lead my family's future. And that's what we want to do here at South Main. In fact, we have several things posted around our building that will tell you about what our goal is. And while we don't mention it every time we get together, we want you to know that we are dedicated to seeking the lost. That's what we're about, to bring them into the family. We are dedicated to teaching the kingdom of God. That's not a church house. That's a rule or a dominion that I willingly place myself under. That is the rule of God, the kingdom of God. And I'm saying to everyone else, God is my ruler. He is my leader. It doesn't matter who's president of the United States. God is in charge. And God is the one who rules me. And we want to reach out in our community and even among our brethren to help the people who are in need. That's what the group that gathered in the early beginnings, we call on the day of Pentecost, they began to share right away with their fellow Christians the things that they needed. And that's what we're dedicated to. Doing. That's the kind of people we want to be known for in our community. Now, we live in a world where there are all kinds of choices, right? Just go try to buy an airplane ticket and just sort of say, I'll take that ticket and go. No, you're not done yet. They want to know whether or not you want a window seat or the aisle. They want to know what time you want to fly out, and et cetera, et cetera. Isn't that right? Sure. Absolutely. When you go to the restaurant, they want to know whether you want sweet or unsweet. You want the super size or just the small size? Oh, we have an intermediate size. Well, you're sizing me to death. You get asked all of these questions because we have all of these choices. People think somehow or another that spreads over in the spiritual realm as though it's the church of your choice. I'm here to say to you that there's just one church. It belongs to Christ. He adds you to it. You belong to Him and you serve Him. When you're immersed into the Christ as you know Him, you're placed in the body, His body. And you are given a family relationship with all of those who've responded in that very way as well. In the long ago, Joshua wrote these words, or spoke these words. He said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, we'll choose you then this day whom you will serve. The God of your fathers beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now dwelling. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24 and verse 15. He was making a statement for the ruler of his life. When Paul is writing to the brethren at Rome, he encourages them to not be conformed to the world. This is verse 2 of chapter 12. He says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I like to call that, these are my words, but I like to call that the concept of information for the purpose of transformation. You see, to be a disciple in Jesus, you need to be transformed. You need to know about the Christ. And you need to not be conformed to the world about you, but to be transformed into the world of Jesus Christ, or the realm of Jesus Christ, or, as we've already stated, the kingdom of God. Loving one another. If you don't love or abide in love, you abide in death. That is separation from God. To be a disciple, you have to have this redemptive relationship and a family relationship. God is expecting you to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was evil and slew his brother, but for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, his brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We're living in a time when folks are calling evil good and good evil. That's where we are today. It's not an easy time, but it's not the only time that it's happened. God will see us through. We pass from death to life because we love our brethren, the family. A new commandment, he said, I give unto you, that you love even as I have loved you, and that you love one another. And by this shall every man, or all people, will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Discipleship. What does that mean for you? I hope that means that you're learning to love, that you're practicing love, that you're learning to find the brethren, the people who love Jesus and love them too, as well as to reach out to those who need to know Him. If we can help you do that today, that's our desire. Whatever you might need, come right down here and let it be known. We will do our best to see that it gets done. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?